Because of intense paternal affection, the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in the words of the boys. Some of the men, however, were in doubt. Since Krishna was predicted to equal Narayan, they thought, it might be that he could have done it. Purport. One view was that it was impossible for a small boy like this to have done such a thing as pulling down the trees. But there were doubts, because Krishna had been predicted to equal Narayan. Therefore, the cowherd men were in a dilemma. Translation again. Because of intense paternal affection, the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in the words of the boys. Some of the men, however, were in doubt. Since Krishna was predicted to equal Narayan, they thought, it might be that he could have done it. Om again, Tremendanistya. Gananjana Shalakaya. Chokshro Nidhanyena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Nidhanyena Shri Advaita Nidhanyena Shri Vatsari Gopanda Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Here we have some perplexity. What can Krishna do? And what can Krishna do? This is only a topic in Vrindavan because of the extreme prema. You are seeing the effects of extreme love, such as will never be seen in material dealings. The situation began by Mother Yashoda's binding Krishna to mortar for grinding spices. Why did she do that? Because, remember, she had threatened Krishna. He had been naughty, and did some mischief, ran away, and Mother Yashoda caught him, holding one of his hands with her hand, and she had a stick in the other hand. And so then Krishna put on a great show, because the whole point for Krishna was how not to be chastised by his mother. So when the child wants to avoid punishment, what does a child do? Puts on a huge display, a huge drama of tears and sobbing. And Krishna, being Purushottama, the Supreme Person, is the most expert at childhood traumas. When you say, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, the Supreme Absolute Truth is perfect and complete. Complete means everything is there. So why can't Krishna be the perfection of a crying baby? His pastimes attract everyone and everything. How can you restrict Krishna? You see, some devotees want to love him this way, some devotees want to love him that way. So Krishna facilitates all kinds of desires. People in this world like babies, at least in terms of how cute they look in their mannerisms. What's that? Thank you. Jai Srila Prabhu was explaining to me about the potential mesmerization that grandchildren can bring. What to speak of? It's a child. You just spend, he told me, I don't know. He told me you can spend just hours staring at the child, watching it Now it's doing like this. Now it's doing like that. I thought it was an interesting way to pass time. Anyway. Each to his own. People are attracted to the newness of life. An innocent child, as they think. They'll find out when teenage years come. But anyway, everything has a honeymoon phase. Still, the point is the attractiveness of a little child. It's enough to make the mother go through such austerities, sleepless nights. Her mind constantly absorbed in the welfare of the child while chanting her japa. And it's enough to make the man go to work every day or struggle how to get money. He takes one look at the beautiful babe and, okay, I'll get out there. I'll see. So, there's attraction. And Krishna specializes in attractiveness. The first verse of Bhagavatam says, Janmadi Asata. The absolute truth is that from which everything emanates. Everything means also childhood attractiveness, or to speak of romantic attractiveness. So therefore, the special feature of Krishna's Bhoma Lila, his earthly manifest pastimes, is that you see his childhood pastime. The Acharyas explained that in Goloka Vrindavan, the rasas of parental love are there, but the actual baby form of Krishna that is seen in Bhoma Lila, his earthly manifest pastime. Mother Yashoda has one hand of Krishna, and then in the other hand, she's got her stick. So now Krishna is putting on a drama. He's making his body shake so much that the pearl necklaces around his neck are shaking. He's sobbing, he's breathing heavily. Tears are flowing from his eyes. The tears are mixing with the black mascara around his eyes. Such a beautiful sight. Mother Yashoda, expert in child psychology, knows she doesn't want her child to become too afraid. She wanted to show him, there's no need for you to go around stealing butter. I have such wonderful milk products in my house. Why do you go to others' houses and break in? Just think, if people cannot understand Krishna as Makanchora, the butter thief, how are they going to understand Krishna as the enjoyer of a rasa dance? Ordinary person would say, what is the supreme absolute truth doing stealing butter? But Krishna is doing that just to enliven his devotees. It is not that the Supreme Absolute Truth is hungry or incomplete. But by Krishna's childhood pastimes, he plunges all of Vrindavan in pools of liquid ecstasy. Iti driksa vilabe anandakunde swagosham namajantam apyapayantam, as we sing in the Damodarastic prayers during Kartik. It is not that the Supreme Absolute Truth has any lack. But because devotees want to love him in a certain way, and devotees have different tastes, Krishna manifests different leelas, different pastimes. He's the ocean, the reservoir, the rasana of all tastes, of all flavors, as the Vedas say, rasovasa, the Supreme Absolute Truth, contains all possible flavors and tastes. Taste is what is driving us onward. Therefore, to hear about Krishna's pastimes is essential so that our lower taste is replaced by the higher taste. So by Krishna's tearful drama, he convinced Mother Yashoda to put down the stick. But she's thinking now, he's so restless, he's so disturbed. Who knows what he'll do next? He may just run off into the forest. I have household duties to tend to. Therefore, for his own welfare, let me bind him. So she did that. But what was Krishna thinking? I'm not done yet. I have more mischief to do. If I'm bound, how can I go and steal butter with my friends? And then furthermore, as you know, he wanted to fulfill the desires of Narada Muni, who had given a simultaneous cursed blessing to the sons of Kuvera, Manigruba, Nalakuni. As you know, Narada Muni, because these sons have become so degraded, he cursed them to become trees. But they became trees. Where Krishna would have his pastimes. And Narada Muni gave them that blessing that when Krishna would personally free them, they would escape from their tree bodies. Understand that it's not that Krishna directly was attracted to the bhakti of these sons of Kuvera, now in tree forms. No. Krishna was thinking, I've got nothing to do with these rich boys, these sons of Kuvera, but because my devotee Narada Muni wants me to do this. Therefore, I'll take down those trees. And also, Krishna is thinking that this knocking down the trees will create a very juicy pastime for everyone to talk about. Little children like to do things to get attention. But Krishna is the center of attention for all living entities. He's naturally attractive. Therefore, whatever he does gets attention. So whether he does this, or whether he does that, whether he knocks down trees, whether he's bound to a grinding mortar or unbound to a grinding mortar, it's all attractive. So in this way, Krishna's proceeding toward the Yamalaya trees. Showing that he's conquered by his devotees. Narada Muni's prediction he wanted to fulfill. And also by the love of the devotees in the Vrindavan pastimes. Krishna wants to do things that they'll talk about. Just like when he steals butter from house to house. He creates talk about him. He creates Krishna Katha. And we're still talking about it. Eternally, devotees will be talking about a little blue child who goes from house to house stealing butter. those of you who are parents, how long can you go on talking about the childhood activities of your babies? I have been told that when mothers get together, they immediately brandish their babe and they all talk about it. I think it was Irmala Mataji who told me. She said, what do householders talk about when they get together? They always talk about children. And she noticed, and what do sannyasis talk about when they get together? This is her observation. They always talk about travel. So everyone has to have something to talk about. Parents like to show their expertise in giving advice. You should raise your child like that. We know. So much contradictory advice goes on around in that department. Just have one. No. Have two. Three is possible. Ah, no more. So many different sampradayas in that department. So, similarly, Irmala Devi noticed that sannyasis, they can tell you anything about traffic. Oh, no, this airline. No, 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 that's a lousy one. That airline. Here's how to get the best seat on the plane. But there's another seat that's even better. We need subject matter to talk about. Of course, even apparently material things in relation to Krishna service are not ordinary material topics. Krishna's pulled down the Yamalarjan trees. The sound was like thunder. Whatever Krishna does, there's no ordinary effect. These trees also, you have to understand, were huge. The cowherd men later appearing on the scene would note that each tree was as big as the house of a gopa, a cowherd man. So the sound was thunderous. What was the reaction? In the village. They're in Gokul. They haven't yet gone to Vrindavan. After this pastime and a few other incidents, Krishna's associates will decide to move. So now they're in the village of Gokul. And they hear this thunderous sound. Immediately the cowherd men start running to where the sound came from. They got to the scene of the Yamalarjan trees first, before the women. What happened to the elder gopis? Why were they far behind? Because when they heard the sound, out of anxiety for Krishna, they fainted. As the men were running toward the sound, finally, the women caught up to the men who were already there on the scene. And what was that scene? Little Krishna covered by tree branches amidst these huge trees. Each tree as big as a house. The cowherd men were shocked. What happened? As they were approaching, you see, they couldn't totally see the situation because Krishna was covered by branches. So they had to kind of deduce what was going on. Obviously, they were not just idly curious, they were concerned. This could have been the end of Krishna. And Krishna is their life. So they were concerned. How has this danger happened? Not that. You might be thinking, well, it already happened, so what is all the commotion about? No, they were concerned with Krishna's safety. Therefore, they wanted to understand the cause. So they began a process of analysis. Okay, these huge trees have fallen to the ground. The branches are covering Krishna. He could have been easily killed. What could have done this? In other words, they want to make sure such things don't happen again. So they reason. Wind. Wind knocks down trees. You don't feel any wind. Rain. Heavy rains knock down trees. It's not raining. Aha! When trees get old, their roots dry up. And then they fall over. Look at the roots of these fallen, young, larger trees. They're fresh and green. Demons could have done it. You see any demons around? I don't see any demons around. Some of them began to deduce that Krishna might have had something to do with this. But they couldn't carry out their thought process. Their thought process was stymied by what? By prema. You see, in Vrindavan, the goal is not to be a know-it-all. The goal is to love whatever Krishna does. So therefore, although their logical faculties were starting to turn over and deduce that Krishna did this, no, the prema stopped them. Even when Krishna's playmates explained the situation. The playmates couldn't give the whole story at once, the acharyas explained. The playmates, it was hard for them to get it all out in one statement. Krishna went between the trees and dragging the mortar, he knocked down the two trees, and then these two shining men came out. They just couldn't say it all at once because they were overwhelmed by ecstasy. So basically, all they could say is, Krishna did it! Krishna did it! And then after some time, they're able to kind of give more statements. This is Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Everything is drowning in prema, pure love. So therefore the young cowherd boys, little cowherd boys, they couldn't give a concise statement. Although here in the Bhagavatam, the statement is concise. Then all the cowherd boys said, it is Krishna who has done this. When he was in between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise. Krishna dragged the mortar and the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. But cowherd men couldn't believe it. Krishna is Krishna, our little Krishna, our little boy. They're blinded by vatsalya prema. It's not simply that Krishna's mother and father have this parental love. It's all the elders in Vrindavan. And all the elders in Vrindavan are thinking, if Krishna were my boy, I would love him like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So they're all feeling that mamata, that possessiveness of pure love. So therefore, as we hear today, how could they put their faith in the words of these boys? Especially how could they do it when they're when these gopas, these older cowherd men, are blinded by pure love of Krishna. Nevertheless, as we've heard, some of the men, however, were in doubt. Remember Garga Rishi's prediction at the Namakarana ceremony, the name-giving ceremony of Krishna. Remember Garga Rishi happened upon the scene in Gokul, and Nandamaraj wanted to take advantage of such a saintly person's presence by Garga Rishi's giving names to Krishna and Balaram. Nandamaraj is showing how to be a proper grihastha. We must take advantage of your presence, Garga Rishi. You travel simply to give benefit to befallen householders. Please perform the Namakarana ceremony for my boys. The Garga Rishi replied that this is not very strategic because I'm well known to be the priest for the Yadu dynasty. If Kamsa gets reports that I have done the name-giving ceremony, he'll start to put 1 plus 1 together. He'll think that indeed you're that eighth child of Devaki that he's pursuing has appeared here in Gokul. Therefore, I shouldn't do it. I'm the priest of the Yadu dynasty, and actually you, Nandamaraj, are a member of the Yadu dynasty too, but it's not well known, or it's not well propagated, because you're not a Kshatriya. The Yadu dynasty is famous for being Kshatriya administrator warriors. But you're a Vaishya, you're a farmer. You take care of cows. But still, actually, you're part of the Yadu dynasty. I'm the priest of the Yadu dynasty. If all these realities coalesce, Kamsa will understand and he'll take action. So better I not do it. But Nandamaraj was determined. We want to take advantage of your sangha, your association. I want the best for my boys. This is the spiritual determination of a Krishna conscious parent. Nandamaraj is showing that parenting doesn't simply mean, you know, changing nappies and feeding. Parenting means to construct the spiritual atmosphere for the child so that the child has every chance how to make this birth its last. So even though Yashoda and Nanda have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son, blinded by prema, love of Krishna, they're thinking, we have to protect our child. We have to train our child. We want the best spiritual atmosphere for our child. Therefore, we must take advantage of Garga Rishi's presence. So therefore, Nanda Maharaj came up with the idea that the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram should be done in a cowshed. One thing you have to understand when you hear that it's done in a cowshed is that in Gokul and Vrindavan, Nandamaraj's cowsheds are like palaces. You might be thinking, oh, name-giving ceremony cowshed, well, it must be some rustic shack out back. No, it's a palace. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Taya. Krishna is the protector of the brahmanas and the cows. And actually, he is more concerned with the cows than even the brahmanas. So Nanda Maharaj's cows lived in such a way, in such circumstances, that a contemporary age of Kali resident would be shocked Meanwhile, though, people spend so much on their dogs. In New Zealand, do you have cemeteries for pets? Huh? Yes, yeah, I know. But I know in USA there are pet cemeteries. And there are companies that make for dogs, air-conditioned dog houses. there's online shops that specialize in clothes for your pet. You're making a statement, you know, how your pet looks and how your pet lives. You're living opulently, so your cat or your dog should also live opulently. You're making, you know, it's a social statement you're making. For one who has spiritual sense, the cow is the most important animal. Cows are Krishna's pets. So Nanda Maharaj's cows lived in what a person today would consider majestic opulence. And the cows, you read in Bhagavatam, are decorated with valuable jewels, with gold. So there in Nanda Maharaj's cowherdship, Gargarishi performed the Namakarana ceremony. And in that ceremony, he said something that the cowherd men never forgot. Narayana Sama. This child will be equal to Narayana. Now the cowherd men couldn't figure that out. It's little Krishna. But Gargarishi has said it. What to do? Just like sometimes you read statements in Bhagavatam, even Bhagavad Gita, and you scratch your head, I don't know about that one. I can't understand it. But you keep it in mind. Don't understand it now, but one day I'll understand it through devotional service. So that's what happened to the cowherd man. Okay, this little boy is Narayana Sama, equal to Narayana. Okay. Gargarishi said it, so must be true. How it's true? Well, I guess one day we'll understand. They kept it in mind. They didn't just reject it. Well, to our senses, we can't understand this, therefore. No. To our senses, we can't understand it, but we'll keep it in mind until we get some further realization. Because after all, Nanda Maharaj, when speaking to Gargarishi, greeting him, said, normally a saintly person like you can't be seen with ordinary vision. In other words, we don't make the mistake of thinking that you are a person that our ordinary vision can grasp. In this way, Nanda Maharaj is teaching us how to function in bhakti. Let us not be so dependent on our sense perception. I know, I've seen, I've heard, you can't tell me anything, I know. Advancement in bhakti means your grip on your mundane sense perception starts to slacken. That doesn't mean you abandon your everyday common sense, but it means that you're not so arrogantly overconfident about your sense perception. You entertain the possibility that things could be happening in a way that you don't see fully, that you don't understand. That's humility. Not to be so assertive. I have seen, I know. Even Bhishma Dev, in his last moments, surrounded by the Pandavas, whom he loves so much, And finally, he could see the Pandavas reestablished in their rightful position. What did Bhishma Dev say about the sufferings of the Pandavas? With tears in his eyes, he said, "How do we understand this? Yudhisthira is Dharma personified. Bhima, the great fighter with the club. Arjuna, the master of the Gandiva bow. And he's also Krishna's Sakha, Krishna's friend. Draupadi is practically Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. And still they went through such ordeals." All we can conclude then is this is the inconceivable plan of the Supreme. We can't figure it out with our ordinary senses. So even Bhishma Dev, who's one of the Mahajans, the 12 Mahajans of Bhakti, even he concludes, sometimes you can't understand what Krishna's doing and why. So Nanda Maharaj is teaching us in his approach to Garga Rishi. You're a Tokshita, you're actually beyond the range of our sense perception, although you seem to be right here before our eyes. And indeed, the cowherd men, they couldn't immediately process it when Garga Rishi, when giving Krishna his name, said, "Narayana Sama, this child's equal to Narayana." But it's not that the cowherd men objected. "Well, Guru Maharaj, we don't see it, so therefore what you say is not actually so. So in your analysis, although we know you mean it, your analysis actually, we can't apply it." No, the cowherd man always kept it in mind. And therefore repeatedly in Krishna Leela, you'll see the cowherd men bring this up. "Well, Narayana, remember what Garga Rishi said? That's the way of a faithful disciple." "Well, I remember. This was said. Now I'm starting to see. Now I'm starting to understand." So they always keep it in mind. Just as the cowherd men always kept Gargarishi's statement in mind. "Since Krishna was predicted to equal Narayan, it might be that he could have done it." What was causing difficulty, so to speak, in their acceptance that Narayana Sama, Krishna is equal to Narayana? "Well, then again, you know, he cries when he's hungry. He cries if he doesn't get enough attention. He does mischief. He tells stories. Okay, Narayana Sama, equal to Narayana. Gargarishi said it. Must be true somehow. But then again, look at the facts. But then again, Garga Rishi said it." So they always go back and forth like that. And the whole situation, of course, is predominated by prema, by pure love of Krishna, parental love. So, as Prabhupada concludes the purport today, therefore the cowherd men were in a dilemma. Yes, you can see that the purest love produces such dilemmas. Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj cited, aside from all this talk of analysis of how these trees fell down, "I'm going to untie my son from the mortar for grinding spices." And he's thinking, "Nandarani, Yashoda, my dear wife, why did you buy little Krishna?" He's a little upset about that. "How could you have done this to little Krishna?" Nanda Maharaj immediately understood. Krishna was trying to exchange affection with you through his so-called mischief and crying. and yet you bound him. So just as Mother Yashoda bound Krishna, Nanda Maharaj unbound Krishna. Now both are actually inconceivable. How do you bind Krishna? That's just as inconceivable as how do you unbind Krishna? Krishna has no inside or outside, no beginning or end. No time influences him. So there's no question of step one, step two, step three. But because both Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda have the perfection of pure love, one could bind Krishna and one could unbind Krishna. After this pastime and a few others, the killing of Vatsasura and Bakasura, then the older associates would decide, it's time to leave this place. So they left Gokul Mahava and went to Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.